Ephesians chapter 4, this one verse, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." And I like this verse because it stands out. It acknowledges a person that has a reputation as a thief, someone that stole. But it gives the hope of redemption, the hope of restoration, and it gives them something good to do with the same hands that stole. It gives them something he can do, he can work to give to others. In junior church, we've been talking about the Ten Commandments, and I always have the kids raise their hand and list them. And if you're not looking at the list, and so as we get older, we know there's 10 things. 10 is kind of a big number for us to wrap our minds around, and unless we have a way of remembering it in a certain order, it's kind of hard to list them off one by one. But I'll have the kids list off some of the Ten Commandments. And one that we always comes up later on in the list is stealing. It's kind of one that it encompasses most of the other ones, because if you think about any of the other commandments, if you're not honoring the Lord our God, you're stealing what is rightfully His. If you murder, when you steal, you're taking what someone has worked for. You're taking a little bit of their life. Adultery is stealing someone's spouse. So that one command, thou shalt not steal, could easily be extrapolated to all the other commands. But you think about what it means to steal. And I have one phrase I'm going to repeat over and over again, and I'll just give you two of my points for sake of time. But the phrase I'm going to say a few times is, you don't always have to be what you always were. This is a man or a person that was known for being a thief. You don't always have to be what you always were, and what you are known for can change. The thief can become remade into one who helps, one who gives, or one who restores others. I was at my old high school this week. They call me every now and then to help with their technical difficulties, and I saw one of my old teachers in her classroom, and it reminded me of something she had done that had impacted my life. She was a good teacher. She taught math, and she might not be your favorite teacher, but when you left her class, you knew what she taught. And she was very disciplined. She was on time. She had a set time to have fun and tell a joke. She had a set prepared time for the lesson. Everything was by clockwork. But the most impactful thing that she ever did was not in math class. It was in an assembly, a chapel. And she said her whole life, up through college even, she had struggled with stealing. And it was a shock to me, because this teacher I knew, I would never imagine in a million years, was capable of any kind of sin, especially one of the Ten Commandments. But she said it had gotten so bad that, and she shared it publicly, she said she gotten so bad if the people had decided to press charges, instead of teaching math and, you know, learning us, telling us what we needed to know, she could be in prison because of this reputation that she had built for herself. And I thought about that in a Christian school, to have a Christian teacher stand up and say, I had a real struggle with this, and for me to have never known her that way, to have only known her as scheduled, prioritized, diligent. She gave away all of her free time to help, to make sure we understood. But she left one reputation and gained a new one. So that's a phrase I want to repeat. You don't always have to be what you always were. You don't always have to be the thief. And what you're known for can change. Abraham Lincoln said, "My great concern is not whether you have failed, but whether you are content with your failure." And we all fail, that verse. But rather, Him that stole, steal no more, but rather, let him labor. And that word, rather, in the Bible, sometimes it says that phrase, so much the more, or a better option, or more greater, but rather, instead of, do this. Not only does he that stole not have to keep stealing, but there's a better labor for him. His hands don't have to be idle. He doesn't have to be done with work. He can work to give, to help others. I thought about the story of Zacchaeus. We sing the little song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. It's not really politically correct anymore, but everybody knows Zacchaeus was short, and the Bible says he was the chief of the publicans, which meant the people that collected taxes. He was like their boss, so they collected the taxes. Sometimes they were not honest men, and they would take more taxes than what was owed, and since he was the boss, he would get the cream off the top. He would get more than what all the other guys got, and the Bible says that he was a chief of the publicans, and he was short, and that he went to see Jesus, and the Bible says he couldn't see Jesus, so he climbed up in a sycamore tree, and he saw Jesus, and Jesus said, "Hey, I'm going to go to your house today." And Jesus went to Zacchaeus' house, and the Bible says in Luke 19, Zacchaeus said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And I thought about that story. He was a guy that was known for being the chief of the publicans, known for if anybody is going to take your stuff and rip you off, it'll be Zacchaeus. And he said, when he saw Jesus, he said, I'm not going to be that way anymore. If I've stolen from anybody, I'll give him four times back. And Jesus said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And this is where Kelly took my sermon. But Jesus said, I'm here to find the people that know they need me, that are lost. They know they need a change, and they know they need the Savior. You don't always have to be what you always were. The first point I want to give you, steal no more. Steal no more. Get ready to do something else. Steal no more joy. I put down, we sing that song in junior church. I've got joy down in my heart. Sorry, Leroy. Deep, deep down in my heart. And we sing that song. I've got joy deep, deep down in my heart. Jesus gave it to me, and no one can destroy it. And I think about the little kids singing this song, you know, five-year-old, six-year-old. I've got joy down in my heart, deep, deep down in my heart. And Jesus gave it to me, and no one can destroy it. And I think sometimes you think, well, they're little kids. What could possibly destroy a little kid's joy? I wonder if they'll still feel that way in 5 years. I wonder if they'll still feel that way in 10 years. And the answer is yes, they can still feel that way if they steal no more joy. Worry, bitterness, envy, the lust of the flesh, all these things that crowd our hearts and minds and take away our joy, make it where we can't experience the joy of Christ because we're so worried about here and now and things we want and the places we wish we were. Jesus said in Matthew, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought and to be anxious about, to be worried. Take no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And again, we've had testimonies, but those things that drag you down, those things that steal your joy, steal no more joy. Don't take any more of your own joy. Don't spend any more time in worry or envy or in all the things that we get bogged down in. The Bible says in Hebrews, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. I've said it before, and I've heard it said tonight, we get things in our heart and we think, it's only going to affect me. It's only going to be my mistake. It doesn't have to affect anybody else. But the Bible says that our bitterness can defile many because we allow it to block our view of Christ. We let it change us, and then we change the people that we're around. Steal no more joy. Steal no more joy. The Bible says in Proverbs, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. And that word envy is not talking about, there's a difference between being envious and being jealous. Jealous is strongly desiring the stuff that's yours. You don't want anybody else to have it. It's mine. Stay away. It's mine. Envy is wanting what other people have. And it kind of gives the feeling of if you ever seen a big tree where the bark is healthy and it's got leaves on it and it looks good, and then you look at the base and you see that it's eaten away by termites or bugs or just rotted out. The tree looks healthy, and it will look healthy until it falls over, and then the cause will show. And envy is that same way. It's rottenness in the bones. It eats away at you, and you can't grow. You can't grow when you have envy. You can't grow when you have bitterness. And if you want to have hands that can work to help those that need help, steal no more joy. And then the second one, steal no more time. The Bible says, in Ephesians chapter 5, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And that word redeem, to buy and to set free from bondage. If time can be bought back, if time can be redeemed, then we can steal time. And we have to be careful not to steal the time that God has given us. Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues. This is in Matthew 9. Preaching the gospel, healing every sickness and every disease. And the Bible says in Matthew 9, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. Jesus was among them. He was healing them. He was working with them. His hands touched their hands. He healed them. And because he was there, and when he saw, he was moved with compassion. And he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. We have a limited time. It's harvest time right now. Favorite time of year. I got married this time of year. I like to look at the color changing. It's a time that comes very quickly. Harvest time is finite time. There's a certain amount of time you can harvest the crop while it's good. There's a certain amount of time while it's ripe and it's good and you can harvest it. And Jesus, when he was among the people, he said, the fields are white unto harvest. Time is finite. Don't steal any more of your time. Don't steal any more of others' time. Your time might be selfish time, but their time might be the time that they have to decide to trust Christ. Your time might be the bitter or the envious time, but their time might be the only time they have to hear the gospel, and we're distracted with these other things that rob our joy. Songwriter said, so little time, the harvest will be over. Our reaping done, we reapers taken home. Report our work to Jesus, Lord of harvest, and hope he'll smile, and that he'll say, well done. The harvest white with reapers few is wasting, and many souls will die and never know the love of Christ, the joy of sins forgiven. Oh, let us weep and love and pray and go. Today we reap or miss our golden harvest. Today is given us lost souls to win. Oh, then to save some dear ones from the burning, oh, will you go and bring some sinner in? You don't always have to be what you always have been. You don't have to take with you the reputation that you might have had as one that steals time or one that steals joy. You can change. This verse tells us you can let him that stole steal no more. You don't always have to be what you always were. Work, labor, so you can give to him that needeth. Steal no more joy. Steal no more time. But rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing that which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Not to keep for himself. Not to say, I'm honest now. It's all mine now. I took care of it. But it's still work, so he can give to others, to him that needeth. Decide to stop stealing from yourself. Decide to stop stealing from others. Instead, give Christ to those that need him, to those whose time is now. The harvest time is now. Get all the envy and bitterness and jealousy and the lack of joy, get it out so you can share the word of God with them. You don't always have to be what you always were. Work, labor, so you can give to him that needeth. We'll have a word of prayer. We'll have an invitation. If there's some time or some joy in your life that you've robbed yourself or others of, I want to give you a chance to pray on Old Fashioned Day. I want to give you a chance to come to the Old Fashioned Altar and pray and say, Lord, I stole something from myself. I stole something from others. But these hands, this heart, this mind is going to be used to give to those that need. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the sermons that we heard in the testimonies. Thank you for the sermons that we heard in the song. Thank you for the message from your word. Thank you that you do give us time, that we have time from this moment, that these could be the best days, as has already been said. This could be the best October we've ever had. This could be the best year we've ever had. This could be the best time of existence for our church. And going forward, if we could look at it that way and realize the time that you give us is precious, the time that you give us is ours to use our hands and our hearts and our minds to serve you. Help us to do that tonight. Help us no longer steal time, no longer steal joy. Help us to be ready to give the gospel to those that need it, those that are waiting and ready, and their time is now to listen. I pray you bless the invitation. Thank you that we get to be here today. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.